Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 20. 1 Kings, chapter 20. We're going to read verses 22 through 29 together. 1 Kings, chapter 20, verses 22 through 29. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Kings, chapter 20, verses 22 through 29. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, Go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, Their gods are the god of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms. And number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot, and we will fight against them in the plain, and surely shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice, and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered and were all present and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, Thus saith the Lord, Because the Syrians have said, The Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one against the other 7 days. And it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew the Syrians, numbered 100,000 footmen in one day, And let's pray. Father, once again we come to the preaching of the Word of God, the highlight. Lord, we need you. It's our strength. It's our security. It's our hope. And as we learned this morning, it is the power of your resurrection. Father, please, would you help tonight to help us? Lord, I pray that here in just about 30 or 40 minutes when we're done, that you would be pleased. That your people would be closer to you because of it, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in 1 Kings chapter 20 is one of the most interesting stories to me in Scripture. I want to help you tonight. Ben-Hadad was the king of Syria. Syria had been at war since Syria had become a nation. You need to understand that Syria today is still the Syria of the Old Testament. These are Muslims. Now, listen carefully to me. You have a conflict between the Jews, and I'll include Christians with that, and the Arab or Muslim nations. Let me show you why. Abraham was told that his seed would be God's chosen people, and the land of Israel would be for his seed. Abraham got ahead of God. Abraham disobeyed God. And Abraham, as a Jew, had an adulterous affair with one of his servants. And when he did, there was a child conceived. She was an Egyptian. So a Muslim is a half Egyptian, half Jew. Ishmael was born. But may I say this, that wasn't God's choice. Isaac was God's choice. And you have had conflict ever since between Ishmael and the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, why? Because Abraham disobeyed God. The problems we're having in the Middle East right now is due to Abraham's disobedience. Now, listen to me very carefully. Because Abraham disobeyed God, the Muslims still hate the Jews. Say, why do they hate the Jews? They feel like the land of Israel is theirs because Ishmael was born before Isaac. That's why there's conflict. By the way, they hate Christians because we worship the same God, Jehovah. Now, listen to me very carefully. This is why they hate America. Because America was founded, I don't care what the liberals say, as a Christian nation. We are supposed to have freedom of religion, not freedom against Christianity. Because we were a nation founded by Jehovah God to be a Christian nation. By the way, I rebel at America having Al Jazeera television networks played in America. This is stupid, folks. Al Jazeera is now virtually in every realm of TV media, and they are getting their own networks to play to the quote-unquote Muslims of America. Folks, these are the people that bombed our buildings in 9-1-1. The same people. This is no different than after World War II, our government sponsoring the communists to come to America and teach in our universities. We didn't learn from it back in the 50s, and we're not doing it again in the 2000s. Do you realize that Fidel Castro came and spoke on the campuses of the United States of America, promoting communism in our colleges in the 1950s? And we wondered why the children of the 60s rebel. We just fought those yard birds over in Europe, and we brought them over here to teach our kids. Doesn't make much sense. By the way, that's why the Muslims have declared a jihad against all Americans. Jihad is a holy war. It is holy because the Muslims hate Jehovah God. They view every American as a Christian. Would to God we were. Okay, got that off my plate. Ben-Hadad had well over 100,000 soldiers, probably somewhere in the ballpark of 250,000 soldiers. The Bible says that the Jews looked like two little herds of goats, and the Syrians filled the valley. There was a lot of them there. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand, Ben-Hadad had gotten whipped by the Jews. They had gone up to fight against Israel. And when the term go up to fight against Israel, you have to understand something. Syria is north of Israel. They weren't traveling north. The topography of Israel is you have the Mediterranean Sea here. You come inland. Then there's a mountain range that runs right down through the middle of Israel. And then it comes back down on the other side. That means the Jews were fighting from the highland, and the Syrians came in and had to fight going uphill. If you know anything about fighting, going uphill is not the direction you want to be going. You always have a tactical advantage when you're on the high point looking down. Number one, you can see farther. Number two, it's easier dropping things than it is going up. And the Jews had the high ground. Ben-Hadad was having a party, got drunk. And his commander said, hey, look, those Christians, those Jews, they beat you because they fought in the mountains. If you brought them down on into the valley, into the level ground, I'll bet you we could beat them. Their God's only a God of the mountain. He can't win down in the valley. Hello. The Bible says that God got mad at that statement. God sent a man of God to the children of Israel and said, you go out there and whoop those buzzards. And he said, I'm going to show you how good I can do this. I'm mad at the fact that they said, I'm only the God of the mountains. And they went out. And the Bible says that they killed over 100,000 Syrian soldiers in one day. Folks, do you realize that is five times the number of people that were killed in the Battle of Bulge, which took 5 weeks? Imagine the Battle of the Bulge times five fought in one day. That's a lot of whooping, for lack of better terminology. I have heard a lot of sermons on this passage. And I have preached sermons on this passage. God's not just the God of the mountain. God's the God of the valley too. And by the way, I'm for that. There's been songs written. The God on the mountain is still God in the valleys. When things are going all right and when things are going bad, he's still God in the good times, God in the bad times. And I'm for that. We Christians have nearly perfected the fact that God's the God of the valley, but I'm here tonight to declare something to you. God's still God of the mountains. Did you catch that? We're good at calling on him when we're in the valley. How's it going on the mountaintop? Why is it that we only tend to want or need God when we're down in the valley? Maybe if we'd want him on the mountaintop as much as we want him in the valley, we wouldn't have to spend so much time in the valley. I'm here to tell you, the same God that whipped him in the valley was the same God that whipped him from the mountain. Can I tell you something? God is big enough to be God of the mountains and the valleys. Let me give you some thoughts tonight, and I'll be done. Number one, Jehovah is the only real God. Let me say that again. Jehovah is the only real God. I'm going to have you use your Bibles a little bit. Don't get mad at me. You're at church. Mark chapter 12. I'm going to show you something here. Mark chapter 12. We're going to turn to several passages here. Mark chapter 12, let's look at verse number 29. The Bible says, and Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Look at verse 32. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. By the way, that term God, that term Lord, both refer to Jehovah, not Mohammed, not Islam, not Buddha, not the American government. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom we are all things, and we by him. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. A couple pages over, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Sounds like God is the only real God to me. We won't take time to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, but it says virtually the same thing. By the way, that's why in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, that's why it says that our high priest came one time to enter into the holy place, place his blood on the mercy seat. That's why Jesus only had to come to earth one time, because there is only one God. He perfected it. He made it complete for us, and we don't need a high priest that goes continually before the altar. He was able to take care of it all in one shot because he is Jehovah God. Folks, we don't pray to God, and the Muslims don't pray to the same God we pray to. I don't care what the government says. It's not, well, it's all one God, just different names. Mohammed doesn't compare to Jehovah. Buddha does not compare to Jehovah. The Pope does not compare to Jesus Christ. Say, are you mad? Yes. We don't have one God called by many names. There are many false gods. Why is it that everyone is tolerant of everything except Jesus Christ and Jehovah God? It's okay that the public schools spend a minimum of $100,000 each in many schools in many states in America to put foot washing centers in for the Muslims to wash their feet and have their prayer time, but you can't take a Bible into the school. Oh, it's all the same God, then give us the same access. One nation under God. They want to take that out of the Pledge of Allegiance. Can I tell you why? Because it's in reference to Jehovah. The same liberal politicians that say, well, it's all the same God, just different names. Why do they want to remove his name from the Pledge of Allegiance? Everybody doing okay? Hang in there. We serve the only true God. You say, are you involved in politics? No, I'm an American citizen. I'm supposed to know what's going on. And I fear that Christians have become dumbed down and we have hit our heads in the sand, not knowing what's going on around us. When you see on your television, go to this channel for Al Jazeera. Those are the people that bombed you at 911 and hit the Twin Towers. Those are the ones that flew the plane into the Pentagon. Those are the ones that crashed the plane with all the people on it in Pennsylvania. Those are the same people. Those are the ones who trained them. Just so you know. Now, you say, you shouldn't say that. Okay, don't you say it when you pastor church, but while I am, I'm going to. I think Christians ought to get their head out of the sand and realize what's going on. Say, do you hate Muslims? No, I hate their doctrine. I don't hate them personally. I'll win every one of them to Christ I can. Amen. Guess what? Most of them won't get saved. By the way, in my witnessing to them, I become enemy number one. But that's okay. I read the last chapter. I know where we come out. Ben-Hadad and his followers said, their God's the God of the mountains, but he's not God in the valley. Let's draw him into the valley. Let's fight him. God said, I've had enough of you yard birds. I'm going to show you who's God. I'll take this two little flocks, send them out there, and whoop you up. And over 100,000 soldiers died. Do you realize that's more than 20 times the amount of people that were killed at Antietam? That's just up the road. Bloody Antietam. Can you imagine how bloody this battle was? Point number two. God is God in the valley. Did you get that? God is God in the valley. God wants to help you at those low times in your life. God wants to help you when you've just been told you have cancer. God wants to help you when you've been told you have an incurable disease. God wants to help you when you have a financial distress. God wants to help you when you're at an emotional low. God wants to help you when you face opposition. God wants to help you when you have ruined your life by sin. Don't you ever forget the fact this church is for sinful people. This is a hospital where sick people come. I don't care how good of a Christian you think you are. Guess what? You got a long way to go. One thing's for sure. This preacher's got a long way to go. Say why? I'm a sinner. When I awaken his likeness, then we'll talk. But guess what? It's not going to be on this side. See, God will even the playing field when his children are disadvantaged. I believe that. I think I remember which child it was. I wouldn't use their name anyway. But I remember somebody was giving one of my children a pretty rough time one day. Another child. I walked up behind my child. They could not see me. But the one that was giving them a hard time did see me. It's amazing how fast the hard time stopped when they saw me. And my child thought, man, I really solved that one. To this day, they still don't know they didn't solve it. What happened? My presence leveled the playing field. Can I tell you something? When God shows up, the trouble starts running. I'll promise you that. God cares when you face those low times of life. Do you know I care when my children have hard times? Do you know and mamas, don't get mad at me for saying this, it doesn't mean I love them more. I love them the same whether they're having a good time or a bad time. The love does not change. The feelings about what they're facing may change, but that your feeling isn't love. Ladies, don't confuse your emotion of feeling. The love does not change. When the phone call came a couple months ago when my son stuck his finger in the lawnmower while it was running, the feeling of love did not change. I still loved him. I'm thinking, you're a rockhead, though. How many times have you been told, don't do that? But the maturity of the young man, as we're going to the hospital, as he's holding his fingertip back on, and he said, Dad, tell him I cut it with a knife. Please don't tell him what I did. Tell him the neighbor's dog bit it. Tell him something, but don't tell him what the truth is. He said, I can't believe I did that. I know better. Then the famous statement, Dad, I was starting to reach for it, thinking, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And he said, I still did it. Why? I said, welcome to being a man. I said, you just learned an important lesson in life. When you think, don't do it, don't do it. I said, guess what? I got scars. I could show you where I said that. Wait a minute. It was a valuable lesson. Fortunately, it didn't cost me too many thousands of dollars. Wait a minute. I say that to say this. I did not love him less, nor did I love him more. Say, but he was hurt. Yeah, but that didn't change my love. My concern for him maybe got a little bit increased. My respect did for the doctor when she numbed that whole finger. She said, okay, now watch this. And she took an instrument and went like this. And I was looking clear down to the first joint of his finger. It looked like a little cup sitting there. And she's picking pieces of dirt and grass and all kinds of things. I'm thinking, son, you better be real thankful. She stuck that Novocaine on both sides of the back of your finger and your whole finger's numb. Because if it wasn't, you would be screaming right now. I don't get squeamish, but I was going, ooh, that looks like it hurts. She said, you really are around this stuff a lot because you're not too squeamish. I said, ma'am, all the blood and guts I've seen in the ministry, and then you add to that all the hunting I've done, this is nothing. She said, let's not talk hunting. She said, my husband goes hunting. She said, I can't stand those stories. It makes me sick. I said, wait a minute. You're playing around in his finger and gutting a deer makes you sick? She said, yeah, it's crazy. She said, my husband can't stand me talking about this stuff. It makes him sick, but he'll gut a deer. I said, what do you all talk about? I was laughing. My wife will tell you, she was sitting in there. She was not looking, but she was sitting in there. I was laughing at this doctor. Wait a minute. It didn't change my concern for my child. It didn't change my love. Guess what? I was no less loving to my son who stuck his finger in the lawnmower at the moment he did that than I was the day he graduated from high school. I was proud of him then too. I was proud of him for how he handled the turmoil of sticking his finger in the lawnmower. I'll promise you this. It will never happen again in his lifetime to him. Guaranteed. Lesson learned. Guess what? Sometimes God wants you to go through the valley to show off how great he is. You know, the world and the heathen think that this is the reason that God is only good for weak people. Because he's only the God in the valley. Well, I hate to tell you, Jehovah makes a better God than Budweiser, than Jack Daniels. Aren't you glad you don't have to pray to Jack Daniels? Hello? There we go. Keep touching that button, don't I, Brother Brett? I'm going to put a cage on that thing. Can I tell you something? Jack Daniels wouldn't remember you prayed to him because he'd be drunk. Folks, the world has gods too. Oh, it's only the weak people that need a god. Guess what? They have them too. They just don't call it a god. I'd rather rely on Jehovah in the valley than drugs. I don't need meth, heroin, cocaine, or prescription drugs. I need God. Everybody doing okay? Okay. By the way, medical marijuana is no such thing. I don't care what the politicians say. It is amazing to me we tax the biggest disease in America, alcoholism. How in the world can you tax a disease? If they came out and said, well, we're going to tax cancer, everybody would be enraged, right? If you have cancer, we're going to tax you extra. Well, they call alcoholism a disease now. It's the only disease you force into your body by choice. They tax cigarettes. They don't tax the cancer that they cause. Everybody doing okay? They see a market out there to make money on marijuana, so they're going to do it. That's all it is. That's what they did in the 1920s and got rid of prohibition. Okay, moving on. Getting quiet in here. You know, the world's criticism of Christianity only for the weak hasn't changed in 3,000 years. Well, he's only the God in the mountain. You can't rely on him in the valley. You know, man's pride keeps him from admitting that he needs a God. It's amazing how much it takes to get, quote unquote, an educated person to admit they need God. I'm getting ready to preach a sermon on humility. Say, why haven't you preached it yet? I got to get the bleeding stopped in my own life. We're nothing. We think we're something. America needs to wake up and realize we need God. Amen. Number three. Let's not forget, number one, Jehovah is God. Number two, God is God in the valleys. But number three, God wants to be with you in the mountain too. The title of my sermon tonight is The God of the Mountain Too. Can I tell you? God wants to be with you when things are going well. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse number 13. I want to show you something. It's not just a cliche to me. It is a scriptural truth that will revolutionize your life. Psalm 27, verse number 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. God said, I want you to see my goodness in the land of the living, in reference to the mountains. Romans chapter 2. I'll turn there if you get there quickly, but as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. Romans chapter 2. I don't think that's right, but it might be. Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Goodness and the mountaintop are always coinciding with one another. Can I tell you something? God said that his goodness ought to lead you to repentance. How often do you hear of deathbed experiences? Foxhole experiences. God, you get me out of this, and I'll serve you with my life. How often do you hear somebody get up and say, things were going great in my life, and I realized I need God even more, and look what God's doing now. You don't hear it. Can I tell you why? Because we're so arrogant, we think in those good times we don't need God. When things are going good, you ought to find out, you're going to find out how close to God you are. You don't, please don't get mad at me for saying this, but you really don't impress me by relying on God when you have nothing. When you're at the bottom and you have to have God, and you say, okay, I'll rely on you now, you don't have a choice. I'll show you when you impress God. When there's money in the bank, the bills are paid, and everything's going good, we'll find out what kind of Christian you are. Are you still going to God saying, God, I need you? God, would you still help me? God, would you provide what I need? Say, I got more than what I need. Yeah, but do you still ask him for it? Oh, for years I did this. I don't know why. I just kind of got away from it. I got convicted about it this week. Brother Hiles used to pray a prayer. Lord, help me to pass the cross of somebody today that you would help if you were here. I used to pray that a lot. For some reason, I just stopped. I can't even tell you why. This Wednesday, I started and said, ooh, man, that convicted me. Ooh. It's okay, Lord. I said, Lord, help me cross path to somebody today whom Jesus would cross if he were here, and let me help them. Boy, Wednesday, I got to help somebody. I got up Thursday. About a half a dozen times that day, I prayed that prayer. Brother Luke, Thursday, I got to help somebody. Friday, I prayed that prayer. I got to help somebody. Yesterday, Brother York and I were out. I had prayed that prayer three times before we went out. Brother Walter went out, knocked on door. This family had one meal of food left in the entire house. I got out of that house and said, guess where we're going? He said, to the store. I said, you got it. I got to buy them a bunch of groceries and put it in their house and get them through till they get a paycheck. Say, what was that? God answered my prayer. I'm having so much fun. I mean it. I'm having so much fun. Can I tell you something? I get to watch God answer a prayer every day of my life. Say, why? Because there's so many people out there that need help. That doesn't mean I'm always buying groceries and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But can I tell you something? God is allowing me to help people. I was praying that prayer this morning. I was here early. I just put the coffee on for Brother Collins' Sunday school class. And I said, I know God. I was talking out loud in here. If you all ever are in here early in the morning and you hear talking, it's me. Don't worry. I said, I know. If I just pray it out loud, it'd be okay. God, I know I forgot to keep asking for me to help. I said, would you let me help somebody today? My phone buzzed. I have a preacher friend out of state who has a very serious need. I was able to meet it within about 15 minutes. I had the wherewithal to help him and literally help his church through one little thing. And in 15 minutes, I was able to help him. Got it cared for. I came out here rejoicing. I was walking through the buildings, praying for y'all, praying. And I said, I know if I just keep praying it, you'll keep bringing them, and I'll get happier and happier and happier. Can I tell you something? That's when things are going good. Things aren't going bad. Things are going great. Man, I'm having the time of my life. It's almost illegal to call it work. I'm not kidding. I put a lot of hours in playing, I guess, but there's a lot of work to having fun, I guess, but I'm enjoying it. Can I tell you something? Maybe if we would spend more time with him on the mountain, we wouldn't have to go to the valley so often. Why is it that the Christian only talks to God in the valley? Maybe if you would thank God on the mountain and praise God on the mountain and ask God to help you while you're on the mountain, you wouldn't have to go down to the valley as much. Most people are afraid of God on the mountain. Did you get that? You want the benefit of the success and the goodness of the mountain, but you don't want to go to the mountain and face him to get it. Let me show you what I mean. When Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they got to a place called Mount Sinai. The mountain was smoking with fire. It was thundering. And God said, come meet me in the mountain, Moses. And you know what the people did? They ran and hid in their tents. They said, you go, we'll stay here. We're not going near that mountain because we don't want to go up there. He said, but God's up there. That's okay. You go, we're not going. The average person won't go to the mountain to see God. Moses went up there several times. Can I tell you why? It's great on the mountain. It looks scary from down below, but up top, everything's all right. You never find Moses afraid to go up there. Did you ever fly in an airplane? You took off and it was raining and dark and dreary down here. Something happens about 15, 20,000 feet. All of a sudden you break through those clouds and it's piercing sunshine up above. And you're thinking, those poor suckers are getting wet and it's dark, dreary, and miserable down there. It's great up here. When you get up on top of that mountain, guess what? It loses its fearfulness. It does. Say why? The clouds are dark and stormy, but they're only looking at the bottom side. You get on top side from God's point of view and everything's okay. Most people aren't willing to go through those dark clouds to get to God. You know what my job is? My job as your pastor is to go spend time with God up here, come back here, and share with you what I got up there. That's my job. But it's also my job to get you to desire to come up here with me and get things from him yourself. I'm not just the delivery boy. It's to create in you a desire to go get it yourself. That doesn't negate the fact that you need a pastor. You need a church. You need a body of people to help and strengthen and socialize with and all the other things that a church is. But guess what? You can go up in the mountain yourself. I'm not the Pope. I'm not the only one that goes there. I'm not asking you not to read your Bible and just trust whatever I say. I say go look for it yourself. But some of you won't, so I'll go do it for you. Some of you won't go as far, and I get to throw those little lures out there and that little bit of bait and try to get you to bite on that hook and say, come follow me. Can I tell you something? I'd rather be up there than down here. Man, I love it up there. Now, just so you know, it gets convicting. I get convicted too. Say, what are you talking about? People are afraid of the mountain. I happen to know that everybody that loved our Savior forsook him at a mount called Calvary. They were afraid of that mountain. Say, oh, wouldn't you have been afraid? I can't tell you that I wouldn't have been. But I sure hope I wouldn't have been. I sure hope I would have had enough sense to say, it's okay, I'll go through it with you. I'll stay here. I've been through a lot of battles with a lot of preachers. I've been through battles for a long time. Can I tell you something? I don't back away real easy. I don't back down. Now, there's some things I won't fight over, but if it's right, wrong, if it's in that book right there, guess what? You got a tiger by the tail, and I will fight to the dying day. I hate the devil. I like what Billy Sunday. Oh, throw the stupid microphone away. I like what Billy Sunday used to say. You can't love God until you hate sin. You can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. Some of you are in love with weeds. Oh, I just love those weeds. You say, you're crazy, Brother Bush. That's how you live your life. You're living in the weeds. Pull the weeds and get to the real stuff. Some of you live in the fake life. You know just enough about Christianity to make you miserable. Can I tell you something? You get out of the valley and get on top of the mountain, you're going to find out it's okay. Say, oh, but don't you have problems? Don't you think Moses still had problems even though he was in the mountain? He lost his ticket to the Holy Land because he got mad and hit a rock. He was supposed to speak to the rock, not hit it. Say, why? That was the rock that gave them water. The Bible says that that rock that gave them water was Jesus. It was a picture of the water of life, and he was only to be smitten once. Moses smote it the second time, and he said, no, it's only to be smitten once. Then you have the right to pray and petition it and ask it. And he said, you just struck the Savior one too many times. You're done. God holds the man of God in contempt, real close. Trust me. Well, I know a preacher. You don't know as much as you think you do. By the way, not your job to judge God's man. Let God do it. He'll do a better job than you. Promise you. He'll beat the tar out of us when we need the tar beat out. Well, I know somebody's kid. Boy, if I had that kid, you know what I would do. Well, it's not your kid. Don't put so much time and energy into thinking about it. Don't worry about it. Do you know how many people thought that about you with your kids? Sorry. I shouldn't have said that, right? I did. Now, I'm not for people being rude and disrespectful, but guess what? We're going to reach people that are rude and disrespectful, and we got to teach them. If you let me handle it, we're getting there. I'm good with it. Can I tell you something? He's the God of the mountains, and he's God in the valley. Matter of fact, he's God everywhere. He's Jehovah. Huh. Sermon tonight's real simple. It's easy to trust him when you're in the valley. How about when you're in the mountain? We hear so much on, he's the God of the valley, he's the God of the valley, he's God when you need him. You need him when you're on the mountaintop too. Romans says the goodness of God should lead thee to repentance. Whew. How good's it going? Maybe you ought to need God while it's going good. That way, when you need him, when it's not going good, you know, you don't have to go to him and say, you remember me? Been a long time. He does remember. You might be going through that because it took that to get you to talk to him. Maybe when you're up here, you talk to him a little longer, you wouldn't have to go so far down into the valley. And for some of us, we've lived under the dirt in the valley. We got to get dug out of the creek in the valley. You know, we have to reach up to scratch the snake belly. We're so far down in the valley. Guess what? He's your God there. It's okay. But maybe when things are going better, you ought to need him just as much. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God wants to be your God in all areas. Peaks and valleys of your life.